I was praying and asking the Lord to give me something in particular that I had no idea, but He did. And so I want to preach to you for a little while this morning about staying on the highway. Now, in our day and time, people say you better stay off the highway. You get hurt. But in the Bible, there is a principle for Christians, for God's people, to maintain their walk on a particular highway. And I want us to see the resemblance, the picture, you might say, of the highway that the Bible talks about here and the highway of our daily walk with Christ. I don't know if you've read, I think, the second most important book in the world next to the Bible is Pilgrim's Progress. And there's a place in there where Pilgrim is walking on a road, and the road is dark, and he can hear noises on the side. There's a ditch on either side, and he's walking toward that city of light. And if you get too close to one side, you hear the lions roar, and there's things out there, and the picture is to stay on the highway, stay on the straight and narrow, stay on the path that God has laid out for us, and He will keep us safe in our walk. Now, the Bible talks about in the book of Numbers. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. In the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 17, there's actually a story of the children of Israel here in the book of Numbers that I want us to look at. And the first part of it is in chapter 20. And in verse 14 of chapter 20, "And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Here's the plea. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields, nor through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed by thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword." Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the visitors. I thank you, Lord, for our pastor. I pray that you'd heal him and give him comfort during this time of healing. Lord, he may gain his strength and be able to be even better than before. I pray for Sister Dawn, Lord, that you'd just continue to heal and comfort her and strengthen her. Thank you for Sister Wanda being able to be here. Lord, I pray you'll continue to help her. And I pray, Lord, for Brother Douglas's mom. Lord, I pray that you will just touch her body, bring strength and healing, give the doctors wisdom, and Lord, that they might be able to help her, Lord, and you might raise her up. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for all that you've done here this morning already. Thank you for the good Sunday school. And Lord, we just pray you'll bless your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This there was a passage through the land that the kings would travel in the old days. Kings wouldn't just go just anywhere, but they had a particular road that they would pass on, and it was called the King's Highway. And that's what Israel, according to Moses here, wanted to travel. They went through the land of Edom. And he sent a letter to Edom, the king of Edom, and asked them if they would allow them to come through that land. And of course, you hear the answer. He says, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. Now, I want you to see a picture here. The devil is, he has bent on destroying your life. It doesn't matter how, what technique, he uses all kinds of methods and tricks and deceptions and all of those things. But you need to understand that the devil wants to destroy your life. He is your enemy. Many times we get our enemies all mixed up. We'll yell and fuss and scream and throw a tantrum at some individual as though they're our enemy, but it's actually the devil that's fighting against us and causing us to do those kinds of things. And so we need to realize, we understand that he is our enemy. You give him an opportunity and he will destroy you. He will destroy your testimony. It takes years to build a testimony for the Lord, and in 30 seconds, it can be destroyed. He lays a snare. He does all kinds of things to trap you and everything else. But know this one thing, he hates you and he will destroy you given the opportunity. Now, he cannot take your soul. He cannot take you out of the way of going to heaven, but he can destroy your walk here in this world. Now, they wanted to go. He said, let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. And this is, you know, the devil controls the people of this world, those that are not the children of God. Remember, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. So the people that are not saved, they belong to the devil. And he is their father. And we basically are walking in their world. The Bible says we're strangers here. We're journey people. We're making a journey through this life, through this world. And we're strangers to this. The Bible calls us aliens. You didn't know you were an alien, did you? But that's what the Bible says, that his people are called aliens on this world because it belongs to the wicked. And he says, we'll not pass through the fields. We won't go into your yard or your, we don't want to go to the devil's place. We don't want to go to his house. We don't want to go where he hangs out. We don't want to have anything to do with his property. And we will not pass through your vineyards. We don't want anything to do with that stuff that you produce that the world takes for themselves. He said, we won't even drink the water. We're not going to do anything as God's people to take away anything and benefit from the devil. He said, we will just go by the king's highway. We won't turn to the right hand. We won't turn to the left hand. We'll keep our eyes straight ahead. We'll walk on the road. You can stand by the road and watch, but we're going straight through. He says, no, if you come this way, I'll kill you. And that's the threat of the devil right there. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:17, it says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way prospereth his soul. So as long as we keep on the way that God has planned for us and put out for us according to the word of God, the way we should walk, then we can prosper in this world, spiritually speaking, because some of the most prosperous people spiritually in this world have zero. You don't believe that? Go to a third world country and talk to some Christians that love God with all their heart, that know that in any minute their government can come in and kill them or take their family away and their home and everything else. But they love God with all their heart. And you don't even... You don't even want to compliment them on things that they have in their home because it means so little to them, they'll give it to you. I learned that in Mexico. You don't want to compliment them, they'll wind up giving it to you and you'll feel bad. And they'll feel hurt if you don't take it. Proverbs 4:23-27 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Now, I believe it's telling us there in Proverbs that we need to stay on our King's highway. In verse 26, we see the word establish. That word means, among other things, to be certain, means to be confirmed, faithfulness, to be fastened, to be fixed, to be prepared, to be stable, and to be perfect. In other words, if you're going to build a structure and it's going to withstand the winds and the rains and the storms and sometimes even the earthquakes, it's got to be fixed, it's got to be stable, it's got to be unmovable by things around it, and it's going to have to be faithful. It'll stay there no matter what. That's the life of a Christian. That's the heart of a Christian. Excuse me if I just speak my heart sometimes, but I have seen over the years, I've been in church since I was born, and I have seen good churches destroyed because somebody, for some reason, will say something off the cuff that hurts somebody else's feelings. And that other person that got their feelings hurt is so spiritual, they say, "Well, if that's the way they feel, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm just not going to go to church anymore." Now, how spiritual is a person that says that? How spiritual is a person that would on purpose say something to hurt someone else? You see, God wants us to be spiritual. He don't want us simply to be moral and holy and all those things, but He wants to be spiritual. We're supposed to be like Christ. Can you imagine Christ getting His feelings hurt? The Bible says He was reproached and reproached not again. He didn't ever get His feelings hurt. And we're the child of God. We have everything that God has for us at our disposal. We have a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of prosperity, spiritually speaking. We have a God that loves us, and like He says, daily loadeth us with benefits. He gives us things even when we don't feel like we deserve them. God's good to us all the time. He spanks us when we get out of line. He doesn't kick us away and cast us off. He brings us to Himself and He spanks us. And believe me, He's got a big belt because I've been spanked. And I know it hurts when God spanks. But it also is because He loves us so much. He will not cast us off. Now, this way that we're supposed to be on is a way that if we stay focused, we're heading to heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I know what's ahead of me. And if you're saved, you know what's ahead of you. And He wants us to stay on that highway. Nobody should be able to deter us or cause us to leave the highway if we're fixed on Christ. If we're faithful to the Lord. If we're perfect in Him, that means we're mature. You can't expect someone that just gets saved today to be as mature as someone that's been saved 2 years or 50 years. But do you realize I've seen a lot of people that's been saved 50 years that were more immature than some of the two-year-old Christians? they have a tendency to slide off the edge of the highway from time to time. I've even heard Christians say, "Pardon my French." Well, I don't know French, but I sure understood what they said. And it wasn't something that would come out of the mouth of a Christian, but they call themselves Christians. I know someone today that will not set foot in a church to be a member of a church or just regularly go to a church because he knows too many of the people in the church. And he said, I wouldn't sit on the same row with that guy. Why? Because he's crooked and he's one of the main guys in the church. Not our church, but I know the church he's talking about. But why do people that call themselves Christians, why can't people that call themselves Christians be faithful to the Lord, be steadfast in their walk with him, love people because Christ said to love people, and do what's right because it's right to do? I'm thankful for this church. Believe it or not, I'm thankful for every one of you that's here. I love seeing the same faces every time. That blesses my heart because I know there's something in here that's bringing you to this place. And that is Christ himself. You know, you get people that don't know the Lord. They won't sit under good sound preaching very long because it bothers them. And they'll go find a place where they get their ears tickled, like the Bible says, and they hear what they want to hear to make them feel good. That's not a Christian. A Christian wants to hear the word of God, whether it cuts him or whether it soothes him. Whether it encourages him or whether it rebukes him. They want to hear the truth. And they can tell when they hear the truth. If the truth is preached in love, God will do something for them. Now, the King's Highway is where we belong. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Some people might say, well, how can you be steadfast and unmovable and abound at the same time? You have to move in order to abound. But you see, he's talking in a spiritual way. We can abound spiritually. We can grow spiritually. We can be encouraged spiritually. We can get to the place where God can use us to be a blessing in the lives of others spiritually and be steadfast in our faith, unmovable in our convictions. Too many Christians these days use their preferences for convictions. You know the difference in a preference and a conviction. A conviction is something you'll die for. A preference is something you like. And there's a lot of people with preferences and no conviction. The Bible tells us, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Also in Proverbs 4:26, we see the word path, which means a track or a way. It also indicates a rampart circle. The Apostle Paul talks about that. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." God puts us on a track, and he has a race for you to run. And if you're not running your race, you may not be a Christian. You may call yourself a Christian, but you have a race to run. And if you find yourself not running your race or not running a race or not striving to race or not desiring to race, there's something wrong inside. Now, the next part of the second of that verse, number two, is looking unto Jesus. You see, we do all these things looking unto Jesus. Solomon tells his son in Proverbs 4:10-12, Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. That word straitened means narrowed to the point that you can't get through. You know, sometimes if you try to put sand, too much sand at one time in a funnel, it'll clog up because it straightens too fast. But if you pour a little bit in at a time, it don't bother it. God says the path that I put you on will never get so narrow that you can't go. So we can always abound. We can always go forward. When troubles come from this side and trouble comes from that side, problems in and problems without and problems all around us, we can still walk our path. We can still stay faithful to the Lord. I remember a time when a church years ago, many years ago, wanted me to leave the church because I would not tell a young lady that had a baby out of wedlock that she could no longer be a member of our church. Now, that young lady's mom and dad were very devout Christians. They loved the Lord. But she got off her path. She supposedly fell in love with a guy, and she wound up having a child. Well, after the child was born, she got right with God. She came back to the church. She asked the church to forgive her. And she confessed to the church what she had done that was wrong and asked the church to forgive her. We forgave her. But yet there was a faction of church, a group of people, that just said they forgave her, but they didn't forgive her. And as time went on, they began to grumble about it, complain about it, having a girl in the church that had a baby out of wedlock. And being the pastor, I knew the family, I knew her, I saw her growth, I saw her serving the Lord, I knew that her and the guy was getting married, things that other people didn't know. I had no problem with it. I think God had no problem with it. But they continued to do that to the point they finally said, if you don't leave, we'll starve you out. And one Wednesday night, those people came when all the good people, it was a church that had mostly oil field workers in it. A lot of them offshore. And one Wednesday night, when they were offshore and working in the oil fields, that family came with some of their other family and things, and my kids were small. And we cried our way out the door, as people would say, you never was my pastor. Those kinds of things. My wife said, I don't ever want to go to church again. Women she loved stabbed her in the back. But you know what we did? We prayed about it. God gave us an opportunity to move somewhere else, and we got in one of the best churches I've ever been in. My kids got in church. All three of my kids got saved there. My wife was overjoyed there. God blessed us beyond measure. But before I left, I went to the families of all those people that loved the Lord and encouraged them and got them into a good church somewhere. And God blessed. The man who led the evil workers had a bulldozer run over the head of his son. Another man lost his business. I mean, if you're going to stay on God's King's highway, you're going to have to be able to withstand some things that will break your heart, some things that will destroy people that don't know Christ, some things that will just discouraged so many people. And it is discouraging. It's heartbreaking. But the most heartbreaking thing is that they call themselves Christians and they can do something like that. That's not a Christian. So you can be fooled. But the Bible says we need to stay on that path. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. I ask myself the question, do I understand my way? Do I really know what it means to be on the King's highway, to walk the way with the Lord? Why we are to walk this path? We need to ask ourselves the question, why are we to walk this path? If we're going to understand our way, why are we to walk this path? What are we leaving? What is it we're leaving behind us? Where are we headed? What are we focusing our vision, our eyes upon? Where our strength comes from to walk this path? Why we sometimes do slip? You realize when my dad was buried over in Elkhart, the cemetery is all sand. You can dig and dig and dig and it's still sand. My niece, when they had the coffin above, she went up to the coffin and fell in the grave. They grabbed her, got her out. But her leg, just the sand gave way and she went down. And we were all told, don't get too close. But you know, that's the way it is sometimes when we're walking and we see some kind of temptation, we get too close to the edge, we may slip. But Christ reaches down and pulls us back. We may slip. What our attitude must be as we walk this path, who is to benefit from this? Who benefits from you being a Christian? Who else may go to heaven because of your testimony? Who else may come to Christ because they watch you and me as we live our life as a Christian on this highway? Who would be hurt if we turn back? I remember a young lady that was in our church. She was a Catholic, Spanish lady, and she came to church. She'd been two or three times, and she wound up getting saved. I gave her a Bible, and that girl, she was in Sunday school, she was in church, she was there on Wednesday nights. She loved the Lord and loved being with God's people. But her mom and dad, who were Catholics, but they never went to church, confronted her, and her husband, who was a drunkard, gave her all kinds of problems. But her folks came to her and said, if you go to that Baptist church again, we're going to disown you. You'll not be a part of our family. Now, she was a young Christian, and she did not want to leave the church, but she didn't want to lose her family. She never came back to church while I was there. I think her mom and dad and her husband are now dead. The Bible tells us the Christian life is a serious matter. There are battles along the way. Sometimes the darts are not coming from the obvious. In our text, Numbers 20, verse 14 says, and Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. And here's what it says. Thus saith thy brother Israel. You see, Edom was the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. They were twin brothers. And now Edom, the descendants of him, is talking to the descendants of Jacob and say, oh, we'll kill you if you come this way. You wouldn't think brothers would get to the point, even if they're lost, that they would want to kill one another. Sometimes as Christians, it's family members. Some of the missionaries that have done great work around the world their family tried to discourage them, disowned them, took them out of their will, things like that. I know personally a young man that is a Jewish man from Florida, and he wound up getting saved, and he went home and told his parents that he was saved. And they did not jump and rejoice over the fact that he had come to know Christ. They put his clothes and everything he owned in the front yard and said, "You're no longer our son." He lived under a bridge and put himself through high school. He got a job and put himself through college. And one day he was walking down the sidewalk and his mother was walking toward him. And when their eyes met, she went across the street, would not even say a word, because he was dead to her. You see, it's not always an enemy. Sometimes it's people that we love, that we cherish, that try to discourage us from doing what God wants us to do. So there are all kinds of things that happen. Moses told him, "Thou knowest all the travail and all the things that happened to us. You know all about the slavery. You know all of these things. I don't care. I'll kill you if you come this way." Some people are heartless. Moses tells of all their problems, but that didn't matter. In verse 18, Edom said unto him, "Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword." How do we walk this path and maintain this journey? Psalm 119, verse 133 says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me." Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Proverbs 16, 9 said, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Psalm 37, 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." You see, the Word of God tells us how to walk this path. And the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, gives us the strength to continue walking. He's the one that makes us stable. He's the one that makes us faithful. He's the one that causes us to mature. He's the one that gets us to the place to where when we look around, we can see that maybe everybody else has left us, but Christ has never left. And we can keep on going for the Lord. This King's Highway is called the Way of Holiness. In Isaiah 35:8, it's called the Way of Holiness. It's Proverbs 8:20, it's called the Way of Righteousness. Isaiah 59:8, it's called the Way of Peace. Proverbs 4:11, it's called the Way of Wisdom. Question is, are you on that highway? Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Israel got to the point that even though they had seen the miracles and the provisions of God for years and years and years, they got to the place in their idolatry where they said, "We're not going to do it. We're not going to walk for God." There are some people like that. I know a man that myself and a missionary went to him and talked to him and gave him the gospel. And you know what he did? He walked about 10 feet away and almost busted his skull, beating his head on the side of a metal building. He was so angry. So angry. "I am not going to do that." And he turned out to be the kind of man that in our neighborhood in Houston, they killed a man back behind our church about an acre or so behind our church. They killed a man. And this guy that beat his head against the wall cut the man's hands and feet off as retribution for something that man had done after they killed him. I mean, wicked, wicked, wicked things. You see all kinds of things if you stay on the highway long enough. Some walk in outright rebellion against God, God calls them a fool. Some walk in what they think is a good way. I know people that do not know the Lord. They don't believe everything in the Bible. They don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They pray to saints. They pray to this person and that person and all those kinds of things. And the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's humanism. That's where you're your own God. There's paganism. That's where idols are your gods. There's pantheism. There's many, many gods. There's atheism, where there is no God. And then there's religion working to get to God. And none of those work. They all lead to death. Christianity, salvation is a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 7 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isaiah 1, verse 18 through 20 says, "Come now." This is how gracious God is. He says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Isn't that a good God that would say to a lost person, "Come, let's reason this thing together. I'll give you such blessings if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You'll live a life that you never imagined. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." I don't know where you are today. I hope that you're on the King's highway. I hope that you are daily being strengthened, looking forward to that daily walk with Christ, looking for that blessed hope and that return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My mom is in heaven. My daddy's in heaven. I have a sister in heaven. I have a wife in heaven. I have a sister-in-law in heaven. I've got a baby in heaven. There are so many good things to look forward to, but most of all, I have Jesus Christ who loved me. And if you knew the me that he loved from the beginning, you wouldn't let me up here. But he loved me and he shed his blood for me that I might be saved. And one day I'm going to go be with him. All that other stuff is peripheral. All those other things in heaven are just sidelines to Christ. I cannot imagine what it's going to be like when I see him face to face. I cannot imagine. But I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to keep my eyes focused on him. Keep walking that walk. Keep going that direction. Keep letting him strengthen me and nurture me and help me through all the troubles. Father, I thank you so much for your faithfulness to us.